Well, I am thrilled. Today is our final week of our summer camera roll series, where we have been looking at old pictures that have been in my camera roll for a very, very, very long time, some of them longer than others. And last night I received a text from Laura, and I was in the other room and I went and looked at my phone and I saw all these pictures came through. I'm like, what are all these pictures? She said, like, she must be sending it to the wrong person. And then there was this, feel free to use any of these pictures, or if you don't like them, throw them out. And for a second, it caught me off guard. Like, what in the world is she talking? Like, clearly, wrong person. Then I realized, when we started this series like 5 or 6 weeks ago, I asked you, as your summer assignment, take pictures. And anything that captures your attention, whatever catches your eye, snap a shot of it. You may not know exactly why you have taken that picture, but there's a reason why it resonated with you. So I'll give it again. I've told Laura, okay, I'm going to give everyone, all the slow people, another week or two, and you have another week or two to snap your pictures. How about we do this on like Labor Day weekend, so 2 more weeks? That sound good? Mm-hmm. Whatever pictures you take over the next 2 weeks where you're like, oh my goodness, there's something about this picture. I don't know what it's telling me, but there's something here. Send it to me, and we'll do a little slideshow of all the pictures, the things that have captured your attention throughout the summer of 2022. How's that sound?
Got it.
And then you can text them to me, email them, whatever, and I promise I'll remember why you're sending me pictures if they come through. But Laura, I mean, man, she's on her game. Like 5 or 6 pictures, and some of them, honestly, I was looking through them. I'm like, wow, these are from a while ago. It's not just over the summer. She sent me one I saw from earlier this year, and I have no idea where the other ones are. And the beautiful thing about this is I have no idea what some of them mean. I think, is there a picture of just boxes, or is that something else I was looking at?
No.
Okay, that was someone else's picture. And so I love it because you get to tell the story, and it's how God speaks. It's how the Spirit speaks. It's the normal moments in life where God is, I think, the loudest. Sometimes we're after those big, big moments in life thinking, well, this is when God is clearly going to speak. But it's actually in the silence. It's in the little things, the things that we just sort of write off as, oh yeah, I do that every day, or I have to slog through this. But in reality, it's those moments when the Spirit has all this wisdom to impart. And today, this is the one that you've all been waiting for. I know Adrian's been waiting for this one for a long time. I've loved every single picture, but this one might be my favorite. I've been sitting on this picture trying to figure out what in the world it means for 2 months. I've written probably like 3 or 4 different sermons. I couldn't find what the picture meant, but I wanted to challenge myself with a sermon for this summer. This was my challenge, and so I have titled this sermon, The Lost Tale. And here is our final picture of camera roll. All right, let me tell you the story of this. During COVID, so this was like 2 years ago, every single morning, we would go for a walk. We'd get in the strollers. We'd go for a walk around our block, and it was great because there was no traffic. Things were quiet. We'd go for a walk, and 2, 3, sometimes 4 loops around our block. And when we were completing that first loop, right next to our house, I saw this. And I was like, that is so bizarre. What in the world happened here? We went around a second loop. I saw this again. Still thinking, captured my attention again. Finally, by like the 3rd or 4th trip around, I was like, I have to take a picture of this. There's like something happened here. There's a story behind this. I need to capture this. So I took a picture. Then honestly, I forgot all about this squirrel tail that I found right next to my yard until I started looking through my camera roll for this series. And I saw this picture and I thought to myself, I have to use it. I have no idea what wisdom is in this picture, but I have to use this one. Just because how can you not when you have this in your camera roll? You just gotta go ahead and use it. And I remember I had no clue what I was gonna do with this sermon, but I knew I had to use the picture. So I put on my Instagram account, all right, everyone caption this picture and best caption wins. And there was community group that night, Adrian shows up and she's like, what in the world was that picture that you put? Her daughter was showing it to everyone, like, okay, we have to come up with a title for this. You know, Dave's gonna put a sermon to this, let's come up with a title. Instead of a title, I mean, Adrian gave me a story. Something about spring turning to summer to fall to winter, and there was this whole big thing. It was great. I mean, the enthusiasm. Oh my goodness. And then she's like, I can't wait to hear that sermon. Here we are, like 3 months later. And then I had a few other captions, and I started playing with a couple different ideas over the past couple of months. But I wanted to put this one last because I knew what I wanted to do with all the other pictures, but I just couldn't figure out what I wanted to do with this one. Then I put an outline together. I came back a couple weeks later and was like, no, doesn't really seem to work. So I started sitting with it again, and what I came up with, it could be an entire series, honestly, the wisdom found in this picture. Like, we can do 4 to 5 weeks on The Lost Tale. And let me just say this, because this is hysterical. So one of the first sermons that I was, like, one of the first iterations of this sermon, I was going to do the whole sermon as if I was the squirrel, and someone was reciting scripture to the squirrel, as if it was God speaking to the squirrel at this moment in his life. So I put that one to the side, but I still think it was quite funny. But let's talk a bit, and this is, I mean, I just make myself laugh with this sermon, the absurdity of it, and it's absolutely brilliant. Now, let me ask you all a question here this morning. If you were to walk around your neighborhood, or if you see this picture, this raises a question for us. And the question is this squirrel having a good day or a bad day?
Bad day.
Very bad.
Good day.
You said not a good day?
I said or a good day.
Oh man. All right, hold up. Whoa, he's already channeling that wisdom in The Lost Tale. Okay, so the majority of us would probably say, because I heard it, the squirrel is having a pretty bad day, right? Here's the thing about the normal human response. We can flip one more. The thing about us as humans, and we all do this with every single thing that we encounter, every single experience, we want to place it in a bucket. We want to make sense of that which we're experiencing. And what's the best way to do this? Evaluate it based on what we have already experienced in the past. This happened, this was bad, this is something similar, so it must be bad. This happened 7 years ago, it ended up being good, so this obviously must be a good experience. We want to categorize everything. We want to label it. We want to have this bucket that we can place it in so that we can formulate a story around it. At the heart of what it means to be human is the idea that we need a story to explain everything that we are experiencing in life. And if there's any uncertainty, if there's any black and white, chances are we don't really like living there. Anyone else, you're kind of like me, the uncertainty keeps you up at night? If things are black and white, you don't really have a category, you don't know how something's gonna play out, you're up pacing at 1 a.m. in the morning trying to make sense of that which you are going through. It's the normal human response. So whenever we're walking around the street and we see a disconnected tail from a squirrel, majority of us are gonna say, "Ooh, that was a bad night for that guy." Now, let's look at a couple examples of scripture where the disciples immediately begin to place judgment on their experiences. First, we'll look at a story in the Gospel of John. This is John chapter 9. So as Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. Jesus is walking, disciples are with him. There's a man on the roadside, blind from birth. And so the disciples immediately, they stop Jesus. They say, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Remember our starting point. One more slide again. Normal human response. We want to categorize everything. We want to make sense of it. We want a story. We want to formulate a story around what we are seeing, what we are experiencing. It's oftentimes, pretty much all the time, based on that which we have already experienced in life, because we've been here before. Here's the disciples. They're walking with Jesus. There's a man that they discover who was born blind. Because of their past experience, what they have witnessed from before, immediately, where does their mind go?
Sin.
Someone sinned. Someone did something bad. Something happened in this man's past. It was actually passed down generationally, so it wasn't necessarily him, but it was one of his parents. They did something wrong, and because of it, now their son was born blind. Immediate reaction as they were going along. It wasn't later on at the dinner table. It was immediately, because we don't like uncertainty. We want to know how everything is going to play out. So how does Jesus respond to this? Let's go another one. Let's continue the story. Here's Jesus. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. The disciples were so blinded because of what they had witnessed in their past. Immediately, they had tunnel vision. Immediately, blind, sin. There was no wider, greater explanation for what was happening, for what they were seeing. So what does Jesus do? He opens their eyes. You can go to another slide. Jesus offers a new way to understand this experience. You think it's because someone in his family sinned. Immediately, that's where your mind goes. That's the story that you come up with. But I have a better story, a different story. I want to offer you a new way to make sense of what you are experiencing. And it's one that's not based on what your past experiences tell you, but it's something new and revolutionary. This word, repent, that Jesus often speaks in the Bible, the word that we find in our English translations, is the Greek word metanoia. A better translation, rather than repent, I mean, repent just has like subway preachers all over it, does it not? And you're like, ugh, that word, really, that's why I don't go to church. That's why my friends don't go to church, because of that one single word. Metanoia means to open your mind, to see things in a new way. It conveys this idea, you're walking in one direction, but then you can turn and begin walking in a whole new direction. Jesus constantly is opening people's minds, stimulating their imagination, saying, hey, I know this is how you're interpreting this, but I want to offer you a new way to understand that which you are experiencing. And if you're so stuck in the old way of seeing things, this way that's determined by what you have already seen and witnessed, then you'll miss the new thing that's happening right here, right now. You will miss seeing the majesty, the grandeur of God in this moment because you're so focused on the bad, on the sin. You're gonna miss out on the new work that God is up to. Let's look at another example. Here's one that might be familiar to us. It's about a storm. Most of the Gospels, three of the Gospels, have this account. I think I chose the one in Mark. Go one more slide so I can see the reference. It's Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And it begins, "That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' So they left the crowd behind, and they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped." And what was Jesus doing during this storm? He was asleep, catching some Z's, like, oh, had a hard day. You know what, seasickness, nah, whatever, I got the patch, I'm good to go. So here he is, he's in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him, and they said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Like, do you not see what's happening here?" So the disciples, immediately, they think this is a, what kind of an experience?
Bad.
Immediately, like, this is no good. Like, someone has to do something. Someone has to save us. What in the world is Jesus doing sleeping through this? He's our rabbi. He's the one who's going to save us, who's going to carry us through this. And so they roused him from his sleep. So he got up, he rebuked the wind, and he said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Imagine that, you're at the beach, there's some waves crashing, and someone just stands up like, "Be still," and all of a sudden, the ocean is calm. So here they are, Jesus is like, "Quiet, be still." The wind died down, it was completely calm. And so he said to his disciples, "Seriously, guys? Why are you so afraid? What are you so afraid of? You still have no faith?" The disciples immediately, "Whoa, there's something wrong here. We gotta fix this." And again, that's a pretty natural human response, is it not? Something's going off the rails and immediately we need to fix it, like within the first 5-10 minutes. We have to get everything under, what's that word we like to use?
Control.
Oh, you guys saw that one. Because, well, when things are spinning out of control, and here's Jesus, he's like, "Look, it's an opportunity for you to grow in your faith. It's a storm, and we all experience storms, do we not? Every single one of them. Maybe you're going through a storm right now. An inevitable reality of life is that the storms come. And sometimes they're not quieted in the moment like they were right here. It's like, Jesus is saying, "Hey, I know this is how you see this, but this is an opportunity for you." He's expanding their world, showing them that God is actually bigger than the small vision of God that the disciples had been carrying around with them because they were interpreting everything through what they had seen before. And Jesus is saying, "This is an opportunity for you to grow in the way in which you understand God. An opportunity for you to grow in trust that yes, the storms will come. Eventually, they will subside. We don't know how long that is. Storms often in life, they last a lot longer than we'd like them to. We do everything in our power to get them under control, but just sometimes that's not possible and we're left there spinning our wheels." And just like, "Hey, this is an opportunity for you to see that even in the midst of the storm, God's presence is with you." Now, a couple weeks ago, I was talking to a good friend of mine, and I called him up because I was just having a bad day. Some of you know this season, summer has been a rough go for us at home. Steph has been just dealing with multiple health issues, one thing after the next, and it's been rough. And so I called him up, I was just like, "Oh my goodness, like last year, everything with the house, hoping this year was gonna just be sailing off into the sunset, but then more storms come up." And he's like, "Dude, I don't even know what to tell you at this point." He's like, "I got nothing for you, but I have a video for you." And he was telling me, he goes, "I just shared this video with my son a couple nights ago. He was fired from his job, he had a teenage son, and there was some shenanigans that were happening at this beach bar that he worked at, and every single person got fired. And so he shared this video with his son, he's like, I wanna share it with you." And he goes, "Maybe it'll help." I'm like, "All right, send it over, I'll give it a look. I'll give it a listen. I want to show you this video that he sent me. Can we have sound right when we go? Because as soon as we put this up, it's going to, oh yeah, we're going to have to refresh it." Okay, give it 1 second, wait till we get sound, then we'll refresh the video. And this is a parable that's been around, I think, for a pretty long time. All right, hold on. We have sound yet?
Well, it's muted.
Oh, hold on. Okay, refresh it one more time because you need to catch this from the beginning.
No. So he loses his horse, and everybody in the town comes over and they say, "Oh, well, that's terrible." And he's like, "Maybe." And then the next day, 7 wild horses come back, and they all come over and they say, "Oh, well, that's great." And he says, "Well, maybe." And the next day, his kid is taking out one of the wild horses and breaks his leg. And the whole town comes over and they say, "Oh, that's terrible, isn't it?" He says, "Maybe." The next day, the conscription officers come over and they're, you know, taking people into the military to go fight. And they pass by his son because he's got a broken leg. And the whole town comes over and they say, you know, and they say, oh, that's great now, isn't it? He says, maybe. And the point of it is that you never really know if something is bad or good because you don't know how that's going to affect the rest of your life. Story of the Chinese farmer. You ever seen that?
No.
So he loses his horse. Mm-hmm.
I remember he sent me this video. I watched it, and immediately I was like, "This is no help." I know what I'm going through, and there's no maybe attached to it. I mean, right? Come on. They're like, no, this is not what I need right now. I need you to be like, I'm so sorry. I'll buy you a pizza. I mean, whatever it happens to be. This was like, I don't know, 2 months ago, a month and a half ago. I've held on to this video somewhere in here. Maybe in my head, maybe in my heart, maybe a mixture of both. And Steph and I were talking a couple weeks back after I got this video. And one of the things we were talking about was, so because Seth's been dealing with these multiple sicknesses and everything, I've gotten more time with the kids. You know, come back from work, or even in the morning, she's going to physical therapy or to a doctor's appointment, and I'm taking them out to Whole Foods, we're going to a park, wherever we happen to go, and she's like, you know, one of the things about this for you is you lost a lot of time with the kids last year, just because of the house and needing to be there to manage, to oversee everything that was going on. It's like, it's almost like you're catching up on lost time. I never saw it that way. Because I was looking at everything that wasn't getting done. We have bats in the porch. They finally removed the bats this week. But I've been wanting to clean the front porch for weeks because there's all this bat guano. We can't use the porch. So I've been staring at this guano-covered porch for weeks. I don't have the time. I haven't had the time to go and actually clean it up. And that's where my mind goes. Like, I need to get out there and clean the porch. You know, this is bad because I don't have enough time to do everything that I feel like I need to do, everything that I should, and should, as we know, is a dirty word we should never use. And she's like, it's like you're catching up on lost time. So is this experience good, bad, or is it kind of maybe? Is there an opportunity in the midst of it? You know, sometimes we don't really know how things will play out until 5-10 years down the road. Immediately we want to judge and put it in that bucket and say, this is bad, there's nothing good here. We want to dismiss it and just move on to the next. But in reality, as we see Jesus with the disciples, like there's an opportunity here. There's an opportunity for you to experience the Spirit. So instead of asking whenever we see a disconnected tail on the ground, is this good or bad, I have a better question for us to ask. We can keep going. And the question is, well, what do you do when you find yourself staring down at your disconnected tail? Which I'm sure you've asked this before, right? And here's what I realized the longer I stared at this picture. We all have lost tails. Because we all experience loss in life. Think about this squirrel. There was no going back. He didn't have a sewing kit. Wasn't going to go and grab the tail and sew it back on. Although, oddest thing, in the neighborhood, I saw a brown squirrel with a black tail. So, I don't know what's going on there. Twilight Zone or something happening here. But in reality, we all know that tail was gone. And that happens for all of us from time to time. Seasons come and go. And sometimes we want to jump back into that season because it was so good. We want to go back and grab that tail and do everything we can to duct tape it right back on. But we try doing that and then it falls off again and we spend all this energy trying to get back to how it was before, because that was good. And what I'm experiencing now is bad. It's the opposite of good. but there's no going back. And whenever we get stuck trying to put that tail back on, we miss out on the good and the beautiful that's opening right before our eyes. So, how do you respond at the end of a season? And there is this verse, a couple of verses in Isaiah, that I believe speak to this squirrel. And as I said, there was going to be a conversation with the squirrel in one of the sermons. This was one of the scripture verses that one of us, all of us, were going to tell to the squirrel, hey, I have some wisdom for you. And it shows up in the book of Isaiah. And towards the end of Isaiah, God is speaking to the Israelites. They have been captives. They've been exiled in Babylon, and they're about to enter back into Jerusalem. They're about to go home to Israel. And here's the message that the prophet has for the Israelites. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Now, there's multiple things that I love about these couple of lines. I mean, there's so much here. We could talk about it the rest of the afternoon. But one of the things, let me go to the next slide. I want to give you a little Hebrew lesson here. Do you not perceive it? Or will you not perceive it? Another translation has. Perceive. It's the Hebrew word yada. And it means to know something through experience. You know how you know things up here intellectually in your head? Like someone tells you something and you know there's truth there, like math. Oftentimes that's up here. But yada is something different than simply knowing something in your head. It's knowing it in your heart. Knowing it because you have experienced it yourself in your life. So God, speaking to the Israelites as they are about to embark on a new journey to return back to their homeland, don't look back, but keep your eyes focused ahead. I am doing something new. Will you experience it? Will you know it? Because we can go through life and not experience our lives. We can skim the surface. Or we can live in a way that has some depth to it. And God's saying, I'm gonna do something new. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, I'm going to do something new. The question for you is, are you gonna experience it? Or will you miss out? Will you be focused on what came before and how things were before and your categories, your stories, your understanding of everything that's happening? Or will you open your eyes to see the new thing that is happening? Because for the Israelites, the glory days were from back in the Exodus. That's what the entire Old Testament points to, the Exodus story. And that was when God was doing his thing at the peak, and God's now like, yeah, you can keep focusing on that, or you can open your eyes to the new that is in front of you. Let's go one more slide. So here's the four stories that we looked at. The man born blind, the disciples could continue keeping focused on sin and the bad, or they could open their eyes to the miraculous that was happening in front of them. The storm. The disciples could focus on their own power, their lack of control, their lack of ability to actually control and quiet the storm, or they could see it as an opportunity to trust even more in a power outside of themselves. They could see it as an opportunity to grow in their faith and come to discover a God who is with all of us, even in the storms that life brings. For the squirrel, the squirrel could kind of stand there on the road, look at that tail, and think of times long gone, mourn. Or the squirrel could learn some new tricks. I looked up what happens when a squirrel loses its tail. A couple things a squirrel uses its tail for. One of the things that caught my attention, the squirrel uses it for balance. Balancing on the telephone wires, on branches, jumping from branch to branch, the squirrel, I mean, this guy could learn how to now balance without a tail. And he could discover a whole new way of living. He could see it as a new opportunity, a challenge for himself. Like, yeah, I used to know how to do this, but now I'm gonna relearn how to do it. It's gonna be a challenge, it's gonna be fun. And all my friends and neighbors are gonna look at me like, whoa, look at that guy. whoa, how's he do that? For myself, I was looking at all the things that weren't getting done. Slight shift in perspective. It's an opportunity to catch up on some lost time. Good quality time with my kids that, honestly, I'll never get back again. Restarts kindergarten in 2 weeks. The bus drops him off 3:45 in the afternoon. I'm like, whew, I'm used to having lunch with him. So there's a bit of sadness there in my heart because that season, it's no longer there. Now there'll be a new season and new opportunities and we get to experience new things together. That's what I'm trying to keep my attention fixed on. What are the new opportunities that will arise with this new season? So when you find yourself staring down at the ground, looking at it, your disconnected tail, maybe you want to speak these words over you. Forget the former things. Oh my goodness, oh, I think we're out of time. I had something else to say, but I think we're good. Oh, you want me to talk about this? What time is it?
11:02. Please.
Okay, so I'll say one more thing. Okay, so I was reading this week, this book, Range. And it's so funny because whenever you come across something, you end up finding it like all throughout life. It's like if you buy a Red Beetle, now everyone drives Red Beetles, everyone on the highway. Like, I had no idea there were so many Red Beetles on the highway. So I was working on this sermon, reading this book, and then I came across the story of Sebastian Younger, who wrote The Perfect Storm. Any Perfect Storm fans here? So he wrote the book that the movie was based on. And here's David Epstein says about Sebastian Younger. The nonfiction writer and filmmaker, Sebastian Younger, was 29 working as an arborist, harnessed in the upper canopy of a pine tree when he tore open his leg with a chainsaw and got the idea to write about dangerous jobs. He was still limping 2 months later when a fishing vessel out of Gloucester, Massachusetts, where he lived, was lost at sea. Commercial fishing provided his topic. The result was The Perfect Storm. He stuck with the theme of dangerous jobs, made the Oscar-nominated war documentary, Restrepo. That cut was the best thing that ever could have happened to me, he told me. It gave me the template for seeing my career. And here's the quote I have right behind me. Virtually every good thing in my life I can trace back to a misfortune. So my feeling is you don't know what's good and what's bad when things happen. You do not know. You have to wait to find out. Yeah, you have to wait to find out. You don't know. So we go through these storms and immediately we want to pass judgment. It's good, it's bad. But as soon as we do that, we close ourselves off to what else might be present. So, as we go through life, let's walk it with some patience, with some wide-eyed curiosity. Yes, this could be bad, and let's face it, there are bad things in life, of course. We're not denying that. Or what are the opportunities that are also present in the misfortunes, in the storms that we go through? What are the lessons that the Spirit is teaching us? What are the lessons where Jesus is like, hey, you're so tunnel vision. I want you to open your eyes to see the bigger picture, to see the miraculous in the midst of what you're going through. So as we finish this camera roll series, my prayer for you is that you would walk forward with your hands wide open, with your eyes open. Don't close yourself off to the goodness that's present. The goodness that is right there for the taking. God is a God of new, always doing new things in our midst. When we get so focused looking back, we miss the new opportunities that are right in front of us.